This is the FS Podcast. The FS Podcast is your go-to place for all things financial services. Sponsored by Exidel Financial Services, we keep you up to date with what's going on in the industry with interviews featuring leading experts, introductions to up-and-coming technologies, and discussions of the emerging trends from around the globe. Today, we're joined by Ryan Swan. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Deborah.
Congratulations on launching.
Yeah, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Yeah, I've been busy with the launch of RiskSmart, as you know. But yeah, all good. All good. Looking forward to speaking to you today.
So Ryan is one of the founders of RiskSmart. He's also an accomplished fintech lawyer and the chief risk officer. He's an experienced general counsel officer and company secretary with a background in financial services, fintech, and consumer credit. And he's here to talk to us about risk. Could you let us know a bit about RiskSmart and what you're doing?
Yeah, sure. So I think thanks for the intro. It all sounds very grand. It's not as complicated as it sounds. I think in terms of RiskSmart, so I guess my background, as you said, is legal. I'm a trained lawyer. I'm also chief risk officer, and I've been risk compliance and legal for several kind of years. And I guess I'm a frustrated risk manager in a way, in terms of where the start of RiskSmart came from. So we're ultimately at RiskSmart helping risk professionals and small, medium businesses and risk teams manage risk with confidence. So in terms of, you know, manual processes, complex frameworks, people overcomplicating things, and not having the tools and data to help them, you know, we think that they deserve more than that. We want to make their lives easier. We want to bring risk into the modern world and digitize services. And essentially, we're making risk sort of simple, smart, and state of the art as we're looking at it.
What kind of risks do your clients usually come across?
So I think in terms of risks, there's not just one sort of set of risk. It's managing a lot of different risks across an organization. And I think that's where often the complexity and effort kind of comes from. So risk managers kind of world and small, medium business, you're managing sort of financial risks in terms of, have we got enough money to survive for the next 6 to 12 months? You're managing sort of conduct risk in terms of, are we dealing with our customers correctly? Are we giving the right kind of service? Is our product delivering the outcomes we expect it to deliver? You know, you're dealing with risks that you might not necessarily associate with the term risk in terms of culture and people. And, you know, are we creating the right environment? Are we fostering innovation? Are we looking after our people and our kind of colleagues? So, you know, as well as then the sort of traditional risks around health and safety and financial crime and fraud and things that you might, you know, day to day usually expect, there's just a plethora of information that the risk manager has to look after. And I think that's where, you know, we're often there. They're unsung heroes in a way, in terms of that work that they kind of do, and not having the tools and technologies to help them is a really tough job sometimes.
Do you mind if I ask? Obviously, there's a lot of risk recently. There's geopolitical risks, there's economic risks. What in this current climate are your three top tips for companies looking to manage risk?
I think in terms of, yeah, you're right, there's so much kind of going on. I think the first thing is around keeping it simple. I think a lot of organizations kind of get caught up. They might read articles on risk management. They might know someone who works in a large organization. And actually what happens is they overcomplicate things by trying to manage risk in a way that a big PLC might do, when actually I'm just a small, medium business. So I think keeping it simple is really important. I think looking at actually what's the objectives of my business and what might hurt me or hinder from me succeeding. You know, and just doing that as an exercise in terms of sort of collaboration across the business areas, make sure that you're not managing risk in silos, that you're not just sat there behind your desk as a risk manager. You know, you need to get out there. It's about building relationships. It's about understanding what's going on in the business. And only from then, once you've understood what the true objectives are and what the business is trying to achieve, can you then work that back to say, okay, these are the risks we need to manage. These are kind of the controls that we can put in place. This is how I can make sure that they're being effective. So I think they're the kind of first two in terms of, you know, keeping it simple and communicating and engaging. And then the second bit is just look for ways to get that time back. So, you know, is the processes we're doing that we don't need to do? Is there a better way of doing it? Are we convoluted by sort of spreadsheets and manual processes? Can we use technology in some kind of way to automate it, to make our lives easier? And essentially to give you that sort of expert time back. Because what we see is that businesses and risk managers have brought people in who are highly qualified and want to do that really exciting work of risk management, but actually they never have the time to do what they want to do, because they're constantly fighting fires, they're constantly being reactive, they're constantly having to deal with sort of administration. So it's how do you get that expert time back, which allows you to focus on what you were brought in to do.
What do risk managers actually do to manage risk?
So I think in terms of risk managers managing risk, there's lots of different sort of facets to that. I think, like I said, the biggest part is that relationship building, which people often kind of forget. And it's, you know, we look at it in terms of risk management being an art and a science. There's got to be the art kind of side in terms of making judgments, making decisions, building relationships, understanding what's going on in the wider world. And then there's the science piece to it, which allows you to, which people often kind of forget about, in terms of backing up those decisions. So, you know, making decisions on, do we focus on this risk? How well controlled is that risk? Is there anything that's going to hurt us in the next 6 months? That's much better to enable you to make that decision if you're backed up by kind of data and the science. So in terms of capturing information, data points, so you can track kind of trends and analysis, in terms of having that data so that if you're challenged in the business or you're challenged by your sort of board of directors, is that really the case? You've got some supporting evidence there to back that up. And I think that's what comes part for our manage risk with confidence. A lot of risk managers lack that kind of confidence, not because they know what they don't know what they're on about, you know, they're highly qualified. It's around having that evidence to back things up, giving responses to things quickly. So one of our top five risks, often a risk manager will have to look across various parts of the business and in different folders and files and paper documents to kind of come together with that kind of answer. Having that information at the, you know, tip of your fingertips and being able to answer it within 10 seconds breeds confidence across your team, across the regulator, if you're regulated, across the board of directors and your shareholders. So it's a big part in terms of a risk manager's role to understand risks, manage those, look at controls, pull reports together, communicate with people, look at the horizon, ask difficult questions, which, you know, you're not always the most popular person in the room because you've got to ask that, okay, have we thought about this? What about this? And making sure that you're driving that business objective forward. Just to recap, I do think that risk often has a negative kind of connotation, and it's absolutely not. It's about protecting value in the business. It's about actually allowing the business to take more risk, to make more revenue, to launch products quicker by actually just understanding the makeup of the business a little bit better.
I never thought of that, actually, that, like, as a risk manager, it could get a bit depressing to have to be like, okay, guys, I don't know about this thing because of this. Have we thought about this? If you had like the data and everything, like, you can just enjoy it a bit more as yourself, the risk manager.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good point, Deborah. I think it's about turning into that proactive approach. You know, risk is often siloed in terms of, right, you know, we've got a regulator responsibility to do it because we've got to make sure people are safe and we've got health and safety in the workplace, or that we're managing the data that we hold on it. And people often start off on that kind of premise. We've got to do it because the regulation tells us to do it. And actually, once you really get into understanding what risk management's about, it's so much more than that. It's about allowing you to have that information to make decisions. It's allowing you to take out some of the uncertainty and ambiguity out of your kind of objectives. You know, are we going to hit that strategic goal? Are we going to make the revenue that we set out in our forecast? Are we going to have the really talented people at the end of the year that we brought on? Are we going to be able to keep them and keep them happy? And part of that sort of risk management role is just understanding that and tracking things and looking for signs that say, okay, this looks like it might not be going in the right direction. We're getting complaints from customers on this product. And therefore, if you can nip that in the bud early, you know, in terms of, you can either improve that product, you can actually react to those customer complaints. And I think you'll see that, you say, the more depressed risk managers are the ones that are a bit more, you know, their business is backward looking. They haven't quite got around to being able to get that risk culture across to people to say, actually, let's be more proactive. Let's look forward. Let's use data so that we can look at trends, so that we are helping strategic goals. We're having conversations around, okay, well, what happens about if this happens in this way? Have we thought about that? Rather than we've had another incident here, or we've had another complaint, or we've breached a regulation, or we've had an incident with one of our staff. It's, you know, it can be depressing to just constantly fighting fires, I guess. That's why we're trying to make those risk managers' jobs easier, make their lives easier and their lives better by giving them tools and technologies that help them to be more proactive.
It's funny that you say that, because I feel like, I don't know if it's just that as I've grown up in the last few years, so I've seen it more, or if it's genuinely a shift, but I feel like I've personally seen a shift similar to that across quite a few industries, like with marketing and just generally having like a more holistic look and having people involved in different areas. Like, for example, with marketing, there's all this data that SEO pulls, the search engine optimization, like all these keywords that they pull And we can see, oh, people are Googling this, people are Googling that. And that used to be just siloed. And now it's like, okay, hey guys, people are Googling this. These are the trends. This is what people are into. And I feel like I've seen that quite a lot. It's nice to hear that that's happening in risk as well.
Yeah, hopefully. It's a little bit like the industry's been not been left behind, but actually, if we don't do something about it soon and start to revolutionize how we deal with things, we will be. So you're absolutely right, Deborah, in terms of, you know, marketing, and you've seen sort of some really sophisticated CRM kind of platforms and data teams, and like say how people think about marketing. We've seen it in finance around actually taking the finance teams and finance directors world and saying actually a lot of this was running reports and pulling data from all these different places, and there's platforms and technology and tools that help people do that in a kind of better way. And it's the same on risk now. We think it's the right kind of time. I think businesses are constantly evolving digital strategies. They're constantly improving the outcomes for consumers. And I think as consumers, we kind of think about in our non-working lives, you know, our expectation changes. So, you know, if we're waiting longer than 24 hours for something we want online, actually, it's not a good experience. It's not a good service. And I think in terms of then when bringing it into our working life, that bar in terms of what's kind of acceptable or what's required is increased, and risk managers sort of sat there going, actually, oh, I've asked a question, I don't know the answer to that, I haven't got the data available to even go and think about it, I come back to you in a week's time, actually, well, people have moved on, that's too slow, and you need to make sure that if the finance team are doing it, if the marketing teams are doing it, well, actually, the risk and compliance teams need to continue to evolve as well, and part of that is that kind of data science, that data analytics, and having that tool set available to support them.
Would you say, you know, again, there's like a lot of risky stuff or scary stuff going on recently, including, for example, the economic downturn. Would you say not technology is the answer to that, but like that the right technologies can kind of underpin the ability to manage that risk and keep yourself in a good position in those environments?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's about having sort of having, like I say, having certainty, having answers to certain questions. And part of that is going to be, you know, is going to be humans and going to be people kind of doing that. And I think, you know, just going back to us at RiskSmart, we are, you know, we're building platforms that supercharge and that support risk and compliance teams. You know, we're their biggest champion, right? We're not here to sort of, the systems and the technologies here to the robots to take people out of their roles. What we're trying to say is actually there's so much more that you can do to become more efficient. There's so many more tools that you can have that can support what you're doing in that day-to-day life, and part of that is then to your point on the different sort of economic climate and how we're thinking about that, it's about getting out there and asking people, you know, asking sort of directors and boards and shareholders, what are we worried about, having a coffee with your peers in different organizations, saying how are you thinking about this. People just don't, time is so precious and people just don't have enough of it, and we're busy kind of working lives and busy home lives and making sure, you know, we want to have that work-life balance, right? We don't want to be constantly having to think about things at night, worried about stuff. And part of that is saying actually technology can give you back that time, can make your life easier so that you can go and focus on those kind of conversations. And people often forget about that kind of engagement, that relationship, even that training. You know, that looks like a great podcast. That looks like a great article. I want to read it, but it's going to take me 20 minutes to do it. I haven't got time to do that. And we need to make sure that people are constantly educating themselves, and technology can, like I say, can give them time back, I think.
That's what we've seen as well. Like with some of our AI solutions, it can be a bit scary sometimes, like artificial intelligence. But then it's like, it's not about taking someone's job. It's about empowering them with the right insights and giving them, like helping them make better decisions, not taking away the decision, just having that prediction easier to make for them. There's been a lot of talk around layoffs on LinkedIn. What's your view on the current economic climate and how does it impact risk?
I think it's a good point. I think it's around, yes, some businesses are having to kind of cut back on that. I think what we're also though seeing is recruiting and retaining really good people is kind of so important now, even more so than it's ever have been. So in terms of that talent retention and having an organization that are, you know, they've got the right culture, that have got a killer objectives, that they communicate that they are, you know, looking after their kind of employees and colleagues and making sure that they're trained in the right way, they've got the right engagement levels, they've got the right tools and sort of technology to help support them on that is kind of key. I think it's a bit of a kind of shift. I think certain areas are a kind of pulling back a little bit. I think there's other areas then across, you know, especially across kind of technology where, you know, businesses are now constantly digitizing, constantly innovating, and those kind of roles will kind of increase. I think I saw another stat the other day as well, though, that it's there's the most open vacancies that there've been for kind of several years. So I think although you see sort of the doom and gloom of some areas and a business having to get rid of staff because they've over leveraged, I think what I'm also seeing is that those employees that are unfortunately haven't been made redundant or leaving are really quickly getting back into the workforce because there's so much kind of opportunity. And I think that's a little bit of the kind of the fallover from COVID and ways of working, and people have kind of taken a step back and gone, actually, one, there's a different way of doing things in life, and I've got a different objective now, and I see things in a different way. Two, I think people have gone, actually, it's given people some confidence to say, I've always thought about doing something like this, never had the time, and actually now I'm going to just go and do it. So I think it's allowed people to sort of pivot and use different skill sets that they maybe didn't know they had, and allowed businesses to kind of look a bit that way.
It's actually really interesting that you say that, because don't quote me on this data, but I saw a report yesterday or the day before. Like, for the last like few months, I've been like thinking, oh my God, a recession's coming, because that's what everyone's been saying, right? Yeah. And then I saw this report that said that the economy in the second quarter in the UK had shrunk by like 0.1%. And I was like, 0.1% is not as many percent as everyone made me feel like it was going to be. So
yeah.
I know obviously it is like tough times for some people right now, and the electric bills and everything are really high, but I do think there's more hope than I think everyone's been letting on.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, in fact, you say, you know, the cost of living is really important, and, you know, we need to make sure as a society that we're supporting those people that need that kind of support. And I know there's been, you know, various initiatives across all different industries, and especially in sort of financial services and fintech, there's a lot of ways there of looking at different kind of products on sort of financial advice and on consumer credit, and saying, actually, you know, and mortgages and rating, how can we make sure that we balance that so that those customers that need that help are supported, but businesses are still able to sort of continue as well. But yeah, I think especially in the UK, I think we're a really innovative kind of organization, innovative country, and we've got a lot of innovative organizations within us. And I think that will continue to kind of grow. And from that, as much as there's kind of downturn and negativity, we, you know, people are people, right? And they will just kind of find a kind of way to say, actually, there's an opportunity here to help someone over there. There's an opportunity to think about our business in a different kind of way. And we find kind of our feet. So, you know, I'm kind of positive in terms of the next kind of 18 months, 24 months, in terms of, yeah, it'll be tough for some kind of businesses in terms of how they think about things. But I think that generates positive outcomes in terms of, actually, it isn't always a bad thing, because it might make you think about things in a different way and say, well, actually, yes, we need to cut back our costs over here, but actually we can still get this, you know, we can still do the same, but we can just do more with less because we're doing it in a different kind of way.
Mm. What kind of changes do you see coming our way in the fintech and regtech industries?
I think in fintech, it's sort of, as we touched upon then, it's around new products around consumer credit, and in terms of the crypto and things like that, where, you know, where's that going to go? I think around fintech, you know, the regulator especially, there's a lot of innovation, a lot of new products, a lot of new ways of thinking coming out, and I think that's going to kind of continue. I think it's around the customer experience, and it's the same kind of in regtech. So going back to our point on data earlier, it's how do we harvest and utilize data? How do we make it that if we've asked a consumer or a business a question previously, well, let's ask them it again. Let's use that data. Let's use things, open banking and that kind of information, to like share information a little bit better, because we're all trying to do the same kind of thing. We're all trying to make sure that we've got great products, that we've got great customer outcomes, that we've got businesses that are succeeding and people that are happy. I think regtech is similar. I think there's a massive opportunity on the regtech side around that user experience, because from our point of view at RiskSmart, governance and risk management and compliance is only good if it's effective. So you can have the best system in the world and the best processes and policies and everything else, but actually, if people aren't bought into it, if they're not using those systems and platforms, it's useless, it's not effective, right? So it's got to be, we find too often that risk systems and platforms are built by risk people for risk people, so very jargon heavy and very kind of convoluted, and you kind of look at that and go, as a risk professional myself, I only just about understand it, so how's people that are not used to this terminology going to deal with it? So the focus on that UX and user experience is so important, so that the business, you know, the end user, the person in finance, the person in marketing, the person in HR, who've talked about that, managing all these different risks that they're thinking about, if they can have something that is kind of is so intuitive, that is like the technology that they use, you know, it's like their iPad or it's like their smartphone that they're using in back at home. If it's that simple to use, then they will engage with it and get the value from it. And then as a risk manager, you're even more happier because people are just having these risk decisions by design. So I think the opportunity there is really important. I think in RegTech, the other opportunity and where I see it going is around a lot of businesses have gone and fixed sort of point solutions. So, you know, financial crime, in terms of, if we get that wrong, we go to prison, and there's big sort of fraud cases. If we get data protection wrong and cybersecurity, you know, criminals can hack into our systems and we can lose data, and that's really bad. And it's great businesses that focus on those areas. But as we sort of talked about at the start of this kind of session, risk is across all of the organization, right? So as a risk person, as a business owner, how do I know where most of my risk is? And I think being able to pull that kind of together so that you've got that one kind of view of, okay, how are we managing? We might have different tools and technologies dealing with some of these problems, but then when we look at it as a backward piece, how do we know where that risk kind of lies?
Any thoughts on crypto and blockchain?
Other than I've not invested or anything in it myself, and only just about understood it and you know, looked at it quite a bit. I think the crypto is, again, it's a way that we've innovated as a society, and it's kind of here to stay in terms of, look, there's just a different way of paying things. It's a currency now, and we need to kind of deal with that. I think blockchain is really, really interesting of lots of different use cases, and especially in terms of, from a legal background, with kind of smart contracts and thinking about property transactions, and how can that industry be kind of shaken up and made easier to buy a house that way through sort of blockchain, and making sure that that's as simple as possible. So I think, again, there's all different use cases. We just need to make sure, I think, from an education point of view, that people understand it, because I think people can sometimes see it as a bit of a game and a bit of gamification. Actually, you know, we need to make sure that the vulnerable end of kind of financial sort of society understand actually what the risks are involved in that. And I know, you know, the regulator in the UK is actively kind of managing that in terms of making sure that those firms are regulated, that they're giving the right information to consumers. But I think it's definitely an interesting concept that's here to stay, as long as you don't lose the hard drive that your crypto is on, like I saw someone did in the press recently.
Well, I mean, that is one of the main issues, isn't it, with crypto, or like the kind of inaccessibility of buying and holding it. And then I heard that you have to kind of move it around sometimes so it doesn't get stolen or something. But yeah. Apparently Revolut got approval. I read this today that Revolut got approval to offer crypto to some of their European customers, like 17 right. million European customers. And that would be like, that's like end game, isn't it? Like, oh, you can just do it in your normal banking app now.
Yeah. And it's like we said, fintech and redtech, it's kind of, you know, what used to happen sort of 5-10 years ago, you know, the world moved on and the crypto is the same. So I think we can either, you know, as businesses, we can either embrace this new technology and this new way of thinking, or we can kind of skirt around it. And I think if we skirt around it, I think, you know, businesses that do that will be left behind, because Generation Z and millennials kind of think about things in a different kind of way, and therefore if that's what they're used to, then that's going to be here to stay. So we can embrace it as well.
I found as well, I used to say like Gen Z and millennials, but I found that kind of older generations actually also think like Gen Z and millennials now as well, want the same kinds of things and have the same, I don't know, like I posted about how Gen Z and millennials hate answering the phone to someone that they don't recognize, but it's like, well, so do older generations now. Everything's changed, really. It's not just the younger people, it's that everyone's changed.
No, exactly. Although there is still the landline phone in the hall, and mum and dad's when you walk in, the usual kind of place. But I don't think it rings as often as it used to. there's different kind of ways of thinking about it. But no, I think it's an interesting space all around.
Yeah. What about open banking and open finance?
I think it's about data sharing. As I kind of said, I think it's important that we collaborate across industries in, you know, whether it's financial services, whether it's RegTech, to that end goal, because it's ultimately about making businesses, you know, life easier, about making the consumer's life kind of easier. And I think open banking and that information kind of sharing allows us to enable customer journeys to be much easier, in terms of people can fill out forms and provide applications and get a decision quicker. And if you think about that in terms of credit world, it wasn't it wasn't that long ago that you'd fill out a form, you'd come with information, and then actually you'd have to wait a few days, and then you'd come back and you'd now get your loan, and then a few days later you'd get something to sign in the post, and then you get the fund, you get the money in your bank account. And think about it now, when you can apply online and get that money in your account and that loan approved within a matter of hours. Part of that is through, if you actually open banking makes those decisions even safer, because organizations can actually look across, again, goes back to data, verify decisions, say actually, yeah, what you've told me on affordability is correct. And that's important because it protects consumers as well as the business. But it'll only happen if we all collaborate across those areas to sort of buy into these decisions on kind of data sharing and all for the benefit of the end user.
Yeah, definitely. Last question. If someone wants to follow you or get in touch with you in a non-stalkery way, how can they find you?
Yeah, it's great. So that's really helpful. Thank you. And I think LinkedIn is our main kind of place. So in terms of, my profile's on there, you'll find information that we're posting, that I'm kind of sharing on sort of risk, legal, compliance management. But also, we're trying to put information out there around other skills that you need as a risk manager. We talked about, it's not just about knowing the technical detail. There's challenges that we've all been through in terms of how you influence people and get that message across. So yeah, if you follow me on LinkedIn, also RiskSmart is on LinkedIn and risksmart.com. You can sign up there to our community, which allows you to get access to regulatory bulletins, updates on risk management, and just what we're doing at RiskSmart HQ. So hopefully you'll find some of those kind of useful, and follow us as well to find out our kind of daily information that we're publishing.
Thanks so much for joining us, Ryan.
Thanks so much, Deborah. Enjoyed that.
This was the FS podcast hosted by Exadel Financial Services. Don't forget to follow us to hear more.